Murdoch. I'm coming to get you.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last? I am by.
I am the law!
Get off my plane.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
John, I'm not gonna shoot you between the eyes. I'm gonna shoot you between the balls.
The disease. And I'm the cure.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent.
There can be only one.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Yippee-ki-yay. I'm going to kill them all, sir.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Give Me Back My Action Movies, the podcast, kid-friendly edition. I am one of your hosts, Charlie. With me, as always, is Nate. Say hello to the people, Nate.
I can't. I'll never be able to do an Arnold. I can't do it. No, that was kind of a...
That was not Arnold.
Well, that was Stallone in this universe.
It was Stallone in T2.
The T2 Stallone.
Yeah.
And on the other side of that mic is our beloved Pete. Say hello to the people, Pete.
Hi, guys. I'm back.
You're back.
Oh, wait. What happened didn't happen yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You don't know what happened yet.
Never mind.
You will soon enough. We're going to leave it at that and act like nothing's happened.
Nothing else has happened.
Although there were some spicy moments before that happened, not nearly as bad. So please, maybe what do you call it? Foreshadowing? That's what we're doing right now. We are foreshadowing our listeners for later. But no, tonight we are covering the People's Choice of the action kid-friendly picks. We are covering Last Action Hero.
Heck yeah. Yes, we are.
This is what caused me and Nate to fight.
Yeah.
This might have been. What? Yes.
This is why there was a poll.
I think it's exactly why there was a poll.
I still struggle to say that it's a kids movie. I do.
Stop it. There's no way you struggle with that.
No, that's what's going to be great about this conversation is... the argument for it being a kid's movie. And I don't really have an argument against it being a kid's movie. I don't know. I feel like Power Rangers is more.
You're just mad. You're
for a kid
picked. You're just mad about that. That's all. It's fine.
You get your way. And now you're.
Yeah.
You're having a little meltdown here.
Oh, I mean, we're lucky I'm even here right now. Okay.
Don't dig.
No.
For 3 episodes now, we've had to listen to it. So you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I'll be all right.
Well, before we jump right into this, because God, this episode is going to be spicy.
Great.
To start right
it's already spicy, and it's not my fault this time.
It's not Pete's fault for once. I got us a trailer. There was a ton of trailers to choose from. I'm not kidding, man. Marketing for this movie.
I can only imagine
everywhere.
What the marketing was
for this movie was.
Had to be like
extraordinary.
Double the budget, right?
Yeah. And don't worry, Charlie's got that covered later.
Oh, I'm
but
sure.
I want to prep everybody. I know normally I try to find, one of the shortest or, concise trailers. I couldn't on this one. I had to give you the trailer I remembered as a kid that everyone watched that, really, really tried hard to sell this movie. But here is the theatrical trailer. For Last Action.
Columbia Pictures is proud to present the screen's greatest action hero, Jack Slater.
Slater! Don't even think of Slater, you hear me?
This is the Lieutenant Governor.
Slater, here's what I...
The Governor gets here, call me.
And Danny Madigan is his biggest fan.
Jack Slater 4.
But tonight, a magic ticket...
It's a passport to another world.
Will get Danny closer to the action than anyone ever dreamed.
Holy cow! I'm in the movie!
Who the hell are you?
Don't shoot me! I'm Danny Madigan, I'm a kid!
And you're going with him.
Who is this twerp? And where is that smile, old
on his face.
I don't even know this kid.
To a world that's bigger than life.
This ticket is magic, and it really works.
And better than real.
You really believe that you're inside a movie, don't you?
Yes! The bad guys are in there. I've seen it on screen.
Could I speak to the drug dealer of the house, please?
Have a nice day.
Have him killed.
This summer, it's head-on thrills.
I have killed people smarter and younger than you.
Head first, excitement.
I hate when it happens.
He's got the ticket!
Now I possess power. Real power.
He's gone over to my world!
In this world, the bad guys can win!
The door must still be open, come on!
If I go, how do I get back?
And it's coming at you from both sides of the screen.
Where am I now?
This isn't the movies anymore, Jack. Please be careful. Things were different here.
Damn it, that hurt.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is Jack Slater.
No!
This hero stuff has its limits.
And Jack Slater is...
Everybody down! Down!
The last action hero. The big ticket for 93.
I'll be back. Ha! You did not gonna say that, did you?
That's what you always say.
I do?
All right, that is a very kid-friendly trailer.
That is... How is that not just the, sound like
you
the
got
epic
me there?
Do it. I knew that's why I was like, I gotta play it. And I look, I'll be honest with the entire audience out there. I cut 30 seconds out because it starts with the Hamlet parts where it's the Jack Slater as Hamlet. And I gotta say, in that trailer, there's missing scenes in the movie. He's blowing people away with a machine gun in a balcony. I'm like, where are those scenes? I want that movie. I want the black and white Hamlet to be or not to be, not to be,
throws, not to be.
Throws dynamite.
Hey, Claudius, you killed my father. Big mistake.
Big mistake. God, so good.
It's the Uzi that gets pointed.
So good. Throws the skull at the dude. It's oh, yeah.
Yes.
God, man. So I'm going to start this off first off, just to get a little nugget in Nate's brain before we start with our histories with it, is to me, watching it last night, I went, Jesus, this is like a 90s-fied, 80s never-ending story. That's exactly what this movie is. Like, it's almost beat for beat for a lot of it as
that,
it goes.
The Pagemaster, I'd say.
I was considering the Pagemaster as well. I haven't watched that one in a really long time, but.
Same. It's been a long. I own it. I found it at like Half Price Books and went, oh, buy that. And have yet to watch it.
That's a quick buy. Yep.
Yeah.
It's got a video game too, Nate, but we'll get to that later.
Pagemaster?
Well. Yeah, Pagemaster.
I didn't know that.
Well, that was that was NES 8-bit time, wasn't it? Or maybe Super NES.
It might have been Super NES.
Yeah,
I think
that's when there was a game for every movie.
I think Angry Video Game Nerd had Macaulay Culkin on an episode, and they were talking about the Pagemaster.
I look forward to later on in this segment.
I will find that one.
About we'll certain games to this movie.
We'll get there. I've got everything ready for you, Nate.
I'm sitting back. I'm going to enjoy this because Charlie, I'm sure, has just...
A plethora of trivia.
Yes, trivia Nate. And some hit and just
Nate's got a day of the word calendar.
Yes, that was plethora. Today.
He just ripped that calendar page.
Don't
off
need
now.
That one anymore.
Gone.
Oh, tomorrow is Exacerbate.
What'd you kids show? What'd you say?
There was an X at the end of that. I'm
sorry, I misheard. My apologies.
That's fine. Well, I do want to start with Nate though, because being the youngest, this obviously was probably later that you watched.
No, I remember watching this when it came out on VHS. Like this was a new Arnold movie.
Yeah,
I was five because 93. I got the video game for Christmas. that year. I can't remember if it was my parents or my Nana that got it for me. I do owe someone an apology, but we'll get to that during the video game segment. And I don't remember the last time I've honestly sat down and watched this. Like, it kind of felt like watching it again for the first time. I remember really liking it as a kid because it was Arnold. It's funny, but like, I know a lot of these jokes went over my head as a kid. After rewatching it, there's a whole new appreciation here. Mm-hmm. But it was just, I don't know, a new Arnold movie after T2. So, you know, seeing T2.
How far apart are they?
Like 2 years?
I think it's 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I probably saw them around the same time, honestly.
Okay. Okay.
Most likely.
Jumped to this right after T2 wasn't filming, or was there one in between? I don't think there was one in between.
I don't know.
I don't think so, because True Lies was after this.
Yeah, True Lies was later.
Yeah.
This also came out the same year as Sidekicks, which has kind of a similar story.
I also love that movie.
That was one of the ones that I brought up for Kids Month. It's like, maybe Sidekicks, because
I know that one.
So I thought about that, but I'm actually holding on to that one for just a little bit.
That's
for a reason.
We'll do this month again. I'm sure we'll cover
all.
You know,
yeah, there's without a doubt.
Butthurt Nate's movies, I'm sure.
Yeah, I got a whole, let me get out my scroll that I have. Yeah,
I keep running into them too. I'll be reminded of something. Oh, we got to add that. And then I keep forgetting to write it down.
And so it kind of is one of those things like, oh man, we could just do a kid's podcast.
No.
It would lose its charm.
Mm-hmm. I feel like something like that would need to be shared with a kid. That they could, you could live it through their eyes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
My 9-year old nephew would be perfect.
You're not.
This is how we get a 9-year old into podcasting.
What was that podcast? I don't know if I still follow them or not, but there was a father son.
Corrupted Youth. The son is no longer a boy. He's now a man. He's all moved out of the house.
He's a man.
He can buy beer now.
He's in college and. Yeah, that's my buddy Dan. He's up there in Wisconsin. He's a hell of an artist too. We're just talking off air about Matt Frank. Dan's are great. I've got some of his stuff, and I just adore Dan so much.
Well, I'm sure the episodes are still out there, but yeah, Corrupted
Youth. They're still recording. They're on a maybe monthly basis.
Oh, so they're good beer, bad movie night.
No, yes. We are once a month. Damn it!
Kids only getting older and older. Then,
yeah. Well, it's still a father son podcast, but it's
that's
father young young man podcast. Right. Now. But he was when he was young, he was cracking his voice and everything. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I remember some of those episodes. Yeah. But yeah, so that's where the kid friendly stuff goes to. But
Last Action Hero, like the idea of being teleported into a movie, I wish I could find it. So I know I have from like seventh grade. We used to do like short stories at school, and my seventh grade one, I have that somewhere in the house.
Oh yeah,
where it's me and James Bond going on an adventure.
That's awesome.
I have one in fourth grade. About Arnold Schwarzenegger coming and hanging out with the family. So like I need to figure out where that's at because I have a very little kid Nate from fourth grade writing about hanging out with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm fairly certain he gave my family a bunch of money because we're poor. Feel bad for the teacher. I had to read that going, oh, this poor kid. Aww. He recognizes he's poor white trash.
That's why she didn't correct you about Crisco, Monte Crisco.
That's exactly probably why. It. No. Sophomore teacher going, oh, he's still poor white trash.
It's in your student transcripts. I'm sure
it's in the file that you always hear about, that this will go on your permanent record.
They could only buy him the Crisco version of history books. That's the old.
I would love to find that. In fifth grade, I remember writing Dar Wars. It was a parody of Star Wars.
Oh,
and my teacher
never have guessed that.
That's called Dark Wars, right? I'm like, no, it's Dar Wars. Like, I made this word up.
Do you mean Dark Wars? No, Dar Wars.
No, Dar Wars.
I wrote it right. It's right here.
And I did not know about Spaceballs at the time, so let me tell you.
Did you watch Beastmaster by chance? Because, you know, Mark Singer was star in that.
So. No, true.
I did watch a lot of Beastmaster 2.
Still dark, so maybe there's some correlation.
There might have been.
Some time travel.
Did Beastmaster 2 make you a man, Nate?
It might have.
Very, very possible.
No, it might have been Total Recall.
Oh, that was awful brief, but okay.
Yeah. So that's my brief history with Last Action Hero. There's not much. It's fog brain up here, fellas.
That's all right. That's all right. Pete, what about you, brother? What's your first memories of Last Action Hero?
I have as much fog brain, if not more than Nate does. This came out 93, right? So yeah. I was in college, and we all know the story, so we don't need to recap that. But this was not on my radar to watch, and I didn't watch until maybe a year ago. And I think, Charlie, you mentioned it. Mm-hmm. And I went, man, really? It's bad, right? He's like, no, it's kind of fun. So I rented it, and I went to go watch it with my 9-year-old nephew, and we both had a blast. I could not believe the amount of references in this, and they went by so fast, even went by so fast the second watching yesterday. I was trying to write some of them down. I gave up.
Like, dude, it's a packed script.
It's already a two-hour movie. If I pause it for every little thing I need to write down, it's going to be like a five-hour movie. I don't like
that's
for
the
this.
Thing, especially when you're on New York streets.
Oh gosh,
it is just blink and you'll miss it. But it's kind of overwhelming of how packed the script is.
But that's one of the best things about this film is it's got that rewatchability. You want to go back and you want to catch all that stuff. You want to see all the cameos, the brief cameos that, I mean, I think Arnold called in every single favor he could. Sharon Stone, Danny DeVito.
Him and Sharon were not getting along after Total
Recall.
No,
they didn't like each other.
Oh, really?
It was famously
unpleasant to each other.
That's it was considered a divorce.
Exactly. The word is about this movie. I don't know why it was that big of a deal to have her, but he told her on the phone, like, you have a good career because of me.
He kind of, yeah. He really pulled a dick move.
And I mean, he's not technically wrong.
Because that was like her big hit.
She was unknown. She was the wife of Steven Seagal in one of the early Nico versions. Mm. That's Sharon Stone.
Okay.
So she got on Total Recall, and then she blew up because then she did was it Basic Instinct, I think is the name of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she kind of took off from there.
Well,
Quick and the Dead, which we will eventually cover.
I almost watched that the other day. I was like, so close to Click and Play.
You've never seen Quick and the Dead?
No.
Sam Raimi Western.
Mm-hmm. Haven't seen it.
Dude. Sam Raimi Western.
I feel as if I have missed something.
Russell Crowe, DiCaprio.
Oh, that's why.
Gene Hackman.
I don't care for either of those fellas.
Lance Hendrickson.
Lance Hendrickson's in it. It's a stacked cast. And it's actually really good.
So, I came very late into this. I thoroughly enjoyed it when I watched my nephew. That's got problems, and I'm sure we'll go over the problems of this film. Arnold is at his most charming in this film. He's right up there at Kindergarten Cop, Twins, charming. He knows exactly what he's doing and what he's lampooning. He's lampooning himself, and I'm down for it. It is highly entertaining. Go watch it. Don't listen to this is a terrible movie. Yeah, it's not great, but man, is it fun? It's a ball.
Yeah, I actually think it's great.
You're up, Charlie.
I think one of the things that breaks my heart the most is to listen to Arnold talk about it now and his regret behind it, because when he first was talking about this, he goes, you know, the script was fantastic. I couldn't wait to do this movie. It's just exactly what I wanted to do.
That accent.
Exactly. That's why I did that to Nate.
I've never been able to do it. All right. It's not, I don't know how people do it. It doesn't make any sense.
I introduced you to my new friend on Instagram there, Geekfire, who does Arnold impressions all the time. So
it's just amazing. Have him on and just, well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. But, and I feel like because it didn't make money, now he regrets it. And I'm like, don't make it about the
but
money.
It's got a like, cult following. If there's one thing, 1993 was not ready for this movie. This is a 2013 movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this was ahead of its time, big time.
They went head to head with a movie they knew they shouldn't have,
no,
but did anyway.
Wasn't their fault though.
Universal moved that.
They did it on purpose release. Too. Yeah, Jurassic Park was.
Oh wow!
Came out like a week or a month before.
Yeah, it was
almost simultaneously.
Almost simultaneously,
everything got buried. It got stuck in between two big films that year. What? There was another one. I don't know,
but in thinking about 1993, we just covered an awesome action movie in 1993. Three Musketeers came out this year as well.
Wow, so 93 is kind of packed.
Yeah.
Yeah, 93 was a good year.
Yeah, I remember seeing Jurassic Park in theaters because Papa went, oh, he's too young to see it in theaters, and I still went and saw it in theaters, so suck it, old man.
Suck it, old man.
Did you see it in the theater, Charlie?
I this was another one I never got to go see in the theater. Again, just
where Wyatt flopped, all three of us.
I think this did not flop in in children's eyes. It did not flop in like people that actually got it, like my dad. When this movie came out, immediately this was another one of those we rented it. Like with my dad and I both were looking forward to it. You couldn't get away from the marketing.
Exactly. Those trailers were everywhere.
They took the Terminator 2 outlook on marketing. They went, okay, look what we did with Terminator 2. It's Arnold. Arnold is the most bankable name we could put out there. Market it. So no one out there didn't know this movie was coming out, but we rented it. I adored this movie that weekend. My dad's laughing at stuff because this was one of the things I wanted to get to talk to Nate about, was where he was so like, this doesn't feel like a kid's movie. I'm like, this is kind of the perfect thing I was talking about for this month, is kid friendly and how we introduce kids. The movie also has to work for an adult as well, because we are going to introduce our children to it. My dad gets all the references. I don't. There's enough humor in it that keeps him entertained. And me, I'm just like, I'm watching an action movie. Like, this is
an over-the-top action movie.
Yeah, it's very much
it's
a Schwarzenegger, you know, feature.
It's missing a ton of blood, a ton of boobs, and...
But the body count probably more than makes up for it.
The body count's up there.
Well, I guess with what's real, with our rules.
I have a number. Don't worry. It's not it's not insane, but it does make sense. And I did watch through and saw. But, you know, Jackie was sitting there, and whenever they do the truck chase and they land into the girls doing like the video or whatever photo shoot with Jackie, she's like, oh, really? I'm like, they had to get boobs in here somehow. And they're all in like scantily clad.
Oh, yeah. They're all in the Vegas showgirl.
Fun costumes, nothing too crazy.
Which I was looking to see if anyone looked familiar, like, oh, that's so and so whose career took off. But I didn't see anything online.
Video
about...
store clerk Angie Everhart.
Angie Everhart. I thought so.
Bordello
she's
of
unmistakable.
Blood.
Bordello of Blood. She was Stallone's girlfriend for a long time, wasn't she?
Yeah. I think they just dated or something like that. But yeah, Angie Everhart, red hair, you know.
She was the vampire in Bordello Blood.
She's the main vampire.
She's the vampire, yeah.
She's on the cover,
you
know, next to Crypti.
I really hated Bordello of Blood as a kid.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie.
I hate, what's his face, Dennis Miller.
Oh.
I think Dennis Miller is so, the equivalent of funny is not him. like why we allowed Dennis Miller to be a thing for a while, I don't understand.
It was the 90s, man. He kind of fit that, you know. I hate to tell you that, but that was
shitty humor.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go back and look at some of the comedians on HBO.
Well, it's just, oh god, his weekend updates are so bad.
I mean, he's no Dennis Leary or anything, but you know, it's still...
Dennis Leary just took everything from what's his name, Bill Hicks.
Yeah,
so, yeah. I still enjoy.
But anyway, Leary. So I watched this movie. I've loved it. I got it for Christmas probably the very next year. You know, it was like that, kind of like Nate, where they were all like, I don't know what to get Charlie. Get him movies. You know, Nate got Blockbuster rental cards, you know, stuff like that. So that's what I would get. I got like three Musketeers. I got Last Action Hero. These were, because I'm 13, these were perfect movies for me at that age.
I am kind of surprised I didn't have the VHS of this one.
My parents would have just had to keep renting it. That was their logic of buying me certain movies. Is he
the
renting
funny
it
thing
more
is,
than once?
I have the VHS now that I bought for you, and then like a week later, you sent a picture going, got Last Action here on VHS. I was like, this son of a bitch.
Hey, I didn't go out searching for it.
No, you just happened to find a bulk.
That's my dad's copy of it.
You
so
found the motherload.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
All those VHSs I sent pictures of came out of my dad's garage.
Oh, okay.
So those are like, they may not, I don't think that was mine because I took mine with me when I moved out. I'm sure dad found it again for a dollar and bought
probably
it. You know, he's like, and that says a lot. My dad bought this movie again because he just enjoys it. You know, he was a big Schwarzenegger fan, and this movie just ticks every box of an action movie. And that they're making fun of, they're making fun of every single action movie out there. The Lethal Weapon ties to this are
there's
just
so many
in your face.
It's Shane Black just taking the piss out of himself.
It is. They say Christmas in this. So does that make Last Action Hero a Christmas movie, or is it only Jack Slater 3?
We're getting real loose with these rules here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm only 2 days from retirement. You know?
The thing that really shocked me revisiting it is how many scenes had me busting out laughing. Oh, not like a chuckle, not like a smile, like actually really well-paced, well-timed comedic jokes to where I was like, yeah, like the audience was not ready for this thing. Like there is a scene where they're in the real world and the way it's shot of having two cars play chicken with each other and it's done in one take, leaving Danny kind of closer to the camera so he's safe and you don't cut or anything like that and have the two cars crash into each other and it's silent. That is so beautifully executed and directed. I was dying. I was laughing so hard at this idea of a movie character now experiencing what pain is for the first time.
That actually hurt my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, he punches that. Danny's yelling at him like, what were you thinking? He's like, 1989, you know, Mercury, front airbags, checkered car, none. Who's
no
seatbelt? It's like...
But it's like, it's the timing of that, like, and they're off, and now they collide, and just like the horn being hit, like everything about that had me dying. I was like, this is so damn funny.
Well, it's because we've watched all of the car chases and accidents in the movie,
in the movies, and
yeah,
that's the other thing. Not having the appreciation for it as a kid that I do as an adult. This movie looks like a movie, and they do a really good job of separating it the way it looks from the real world.
Mm-hmm.
The real world has a very gritty, dark nature to it. It's rainy.
It's not lit as brightly as the film is.
Feels like more. It feels real.
Anyway. It was gross. It's
and then you get to the movie verse and it's just gorgeous. There's not a all the women are beautiful and it's just
what's
so well lit.
It's California.
And
just the way that the direction changes as well. It just kudos to them for pulling that off. That can't be easy. I don't know how you even do that, you know?
Well, this was done. I mean, and also the director is an action director. This is Tiernan, man. He thought, like, yeah, okay, this didn't do great, and they all kind of got depressed after it. But if you go back and look at this going, they nailed it.
He's the only person that could have done this, though.
Look, if Shane Black's not going to get behind the camera, it has to be McTiernan. Like, period. You've already worked with Arnold. You understand the topics you're talking about and poking fun at. Because you're in there. You know what the tropes are. And Lord have mercy, even last night watching this going, there are so many more references I've made. When, also, why is F, what's his name? F. Murray Abraham, second billing in this movie on everything I see. He's in this movie like three times. He's John Practice, you know, the guy that killed Mozart. But I'm watching it last night, and when Practice shows up, the way Arnold goes, Practice, you son of a, I'm like, he's doing the freaking Dylan. That the whole thing is like, you're they're pushing papers. I'm like, pencil pusher. Like, holy crap, this whole time I'm getting like all these new references. I don't know if it's because now we're doing this podcast and we're more like
attuned to these kind of things.
Exactly. But I was like picking up all of these tropes and lines from Arnold movies, and I'm just I love
it.
All
was
of this.
The ice cream cone death.
Well, and who did it kill?
Oh my god, yes,
he's back.
Like, Al's in it for it, doesn't get any lines, he's just kind of there for a moment, but
he's there for a nice long moment. And
yeah, he's
in
the majority, but not,
I don't
like
know what kind of truck that was, but wow, that was cool.
That's like a 54, 55 Chevy. Boy, it's like the bubble nose.
It was so cool.
Badass.
Like, taking turns. It
we
had
can say
super
ass
suspension
and stuff
on
tonight.
It.
Yeah, you know, we can. We're PG-13 tonight, boys.
Oh, okay.
We can
fairly
make
certain
it a little
Decker
spicy.
Drops an F-bomb, according to my subtitles.
He does.
The very, very
they,
end.
They like figured it was back in the. Yeah, they figured it so fast, most people pass it. But I was
he is the perfect captain yelling at the, you know,
he was
cadets,
brilliant.
Especially when you have the steam coming off of him. Like, do you understand anything he's saying? It's like, I think it's just gibberish right now.
I'm English.
It's so good. But yeah, Al Leong's in this. You know, did you recognize the driver of the truck?
He didn't look familiar to me.
He's Scorpio from Predator 2, man.
Is he really?
No
it's
way.
Scorpio.
I did not recognize that.
And then whenever
out of that truck at one time or something.
When Benedict comes into Meredith's condo or whatever, and all the henchmen are around, the guy holding Meredith is Chico from The Running Man. All of my henchmen are in this movie except for Gerald Okamura. I was like, wait, is Gerald in here somewhere? No, unfortunately, he's not in it, but everyone else is. I'm having a ball.
The one I caught was Danny DeVito because he plays the anime cat. That had me rolling as well with how Arnold sells that so straight of like, yeah, he's one of the best men on the force, like, and he'll be here tomorrow.
He just walked into the police department, and he'll do it again tomorrow. He saves his life later.
Yeah,
like, they let that for a number of times.
I would watch that movie of those two being the buddy cops. Oh, I would do that in a heartbeat.
I would watch just the cat. I don't even
need exactly. If the cat got his own movie, if this movie would have done really well and they're like, Danny DeVito, we want you to voice a cop cat, I'm in.
He's like, I'll do it.
The black and white digitalization of Humphrey Bogart being someone else's partner.
Brilliant.
You're teamed up with the rabbi. I love it. And he's got the badge right on his hat. I'm like, oh, just the jokes for days, man. And I don't care what anybody says. Arnold has comedic timing.
Oh, yeah. He always,
so
always has.
Funny in this movie. You know, and all I had to do was drive around and point and go, the bad guy is in there.
Usually they leave a clue around.
They leave a clue around, or they kidnap me and then break free. And
to this day, I still reference the guy in the closet.
I was going
to
say, the guy in the closet.
I have said it on this show multiple times, and it's from this movie. There's always a guy in the closet.
It cost me a fortune in closet doors. It's the self-awareness of these kind of jokes that land so well. And just like the way the guy falls out of the closet after he's been shot, you see the bullet holes in the wall. And then there's the like Naked Gun-esque joke as when he's talking to him, the background joke is he has all of the same jackets, all of the same boots,
shirts, yeah,
multiple of the same guns. Like, it's just
there's Desert Eagle 50s chrome lined up as if you were like, that's Mondays, that's Tuesdays, right.
Yeah,
that's Wednesdays.
I just got this one back from the cleaner.
Yeah,
right.
His all compartment has 12 guns
filled
in
with
it.
Guns.
Dude, when
even the opening scene.
Yes, when he's watching the movie, and he's like, "Come on, Jack, I know you got more than one gun." Picks guns off everywhere. A knife. Oh, I don't know if you count this, and it's a grenade. It's just also
it's not a grenade.
Fun fact, unplanned. We got Frank in this movie. That's Tom Noonan, who played Frankenstein's monster in Monster Squad.
Oh, really?
No way.
I did not know that.
I didn't make that connection.
That is Tom Noonan from Monster Squad. So
I have always thought that the Ripper is a very creepy villain.
Yeah.
He's so... I have his action figure behind me.
Yeah.
Tall and ugly, and
that axe is awesome. The raincoat is effective with like the scarring on his face. That is a villain that I want in a movie. You know, like I get why
one with Frankenstein.
Yeah, I get why Danny likes the movies because it's like, yeah, that's the movies we would watch.
And
right,
Danny is Charlie, right? Can you see Charlie sitting there in the theater going,
Charlie's way less annoying than Danny. Danny got on my last nerve.
Yeah. That's my biggest beef.
He's not Bob, but he's my biggest complaint. Like,
yeah, I'll give you that.
If there's one thing, like him trying to prove it's a movie over and over again, it's like, dude, like,
that's not his fault though.
That's
one of the complaints with the script, but like, the kid himself, I'm not above to making fun of child actors. I don't care. You get yourself in the business. This is what you're going to get into. A podcaster who does not act in movies making fun of you 30 years later. So you should have known that was going to happen at some point.
In 93, he should have known.
You should have known that grown men were going to be like, well, actually, even though I've never done this in my entire life. And if I was in front of the camera, it'd be like I was a wooden statue from Creepshow 2.
Look like Garth as soon as they turned on
the
cameras.
Exactly.
And I quit the show and Nate's left there going, you ever seen that scene where the dude's head explodes in Scanners? That would be Nate right there.
Like, he is definitely the weakest point of
the movie. I've seen a lot of camera movies, and this guy's definitely a Kenny, if anyone gets that reference.
Okay, yeah.
I don't get that one.
In every Gamera movie, there's one really annoying kid in it who's trying to save Gamera or some weird shit like that.
They picked an unknown kid at the time.
I feel bad for him. He's just not good.
I mean, personally,
you couldn't do Edward Furlong because it'd be like, oh god, that's just T2.
He's too old.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I get wanting to do an unknown.
You needed that kind of rough around the edges kid. I'm kind of glad they went with a no name, because good lord, everyone else is in this movie. It's like, at least, because I needed someone to connect to, and that works for me with Danny. I kind of connect to him because he's supposed to be reality in these movies, and guess what, kids are annoying. Okay, kids.
Oh, that's the other thing.
I don't
like kids, so like, that's not really like for a kid friendly month. I just, you know,
yeah,
the whole
right?
children thing is gross. Get them away from me.
It's like
boogers.
Just me as a kid. That's what this is about. Not
yeah,
not
yeah,
kids.
Exactly. I don't like your kids.
Wow. No, but that's kind of. To me, that's the charm of it, though, because that's like I was saying, that's what reminds me of, Neverending Story and the Page Masters. I have to experience this movie through Danny. And as a kid, that's what I did. I think it's the same for me,
like experience it through him. But it's the adult lens,
well,
and
now
seeing it now. I'm just like, you're kind of a little shit. Don't really like you. But, like, shut up. Shut up.
To me, he's not telling me to shut up. It's fine.
No, but I'm just telling him to shut up.
He's telling the kid to shut up.
Sit on you. You don't want that to happen.
But as I was watching it last night, I think I was I was connecting more with, how do we say this? I was connecting more with Jack Slater than I was Danny, because now as an adult, especially when he realizes what he is, you know, whenever he ends up in real New York.
Weird, but when Tywin Lannister realizes that he's real and like his little side quest that he's going on, where like he watches someone get shot and killed for shoes. And I swear the way that he is acting is, I felt like it was fear. Like he is used to being in this great crime syndicate with these crime families. And he just watched a guy get shot on the street for shoes and no one did a thing.
I think he has a realization that this is worse than what
he's used to. Yeah. And then like he goes to test it by shooting a guy going, hello, just killed a guy, just murdered him. Call the police. And just classic New York, someone up above, shut up down there.
My favorite line.
It is.
There was a brief moment after he saw the person get murdered for their shoes when I thought that Tywin, damn it, now you got his name in my head. Lannister.
He's always gonna be Tywin to me.
I can't get it out of my head now. that I thought maybe for one brief moment that he'd be like, I don't like this. I need to go back to fantasy world, because
I legit thought that was going to happen at a moment.
This is too sad. I don't like this dystopia. I want to go back to where things make sense. And I, for just a brief moment, I thought he might just leave this world, go back and just be happy where he is
and be like the king there. But also,
and then no, I want to be king here. I'm going to bring King Kong to this freaking world. And I'm like, I'm down for that. Let's see that movie.
Yeah. So what I really enjoyed also with him, and like what this story allowed, is now you have a villain that can be a really, really diabolical villain, because he has all the knowledge of the movie world that he can bring into the real world. And he kind of like realizes like, my consequences are kind of whatever. Yeah. Like there is a really fascinating idea there of a movie villain coming into the real world and causing havoc. And especially when they realize he's going into other movies.
Yeah,
and yeah, like say if he would have went into another movie and brought like Godzilla back, it would have been like, oh God, like now what
did I do?
Godzilla would have won an Oscar back in 1993. That's what happened.
That's what would have happened.
Give me my Oscar.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Make no mistake, Jack Slater is the last action hero.
Ah! Ripper, you're looking sharp today.
Whack!
Big mistake.
Cool, Slater talks! Whack! Welcome, Slater. Jack, help! Pull up a chair.
Heads up.
Yo! Ooh,
Danny, don't let them get away!
Oh no!
You guys still hanging around?
Sound punch Slater and chair crashing Slater talk and make sound effects. Other figures sold separately. New from Mattel.
Only one album has all the action. Only one album has Megadeth, AC/DC, Anthrax, Fishbone, Aerosmith, Def Leppard, Cypress Hill, Tesla, Alice in Chains, and Queensryche. Last Action Hero, the one soundtrack that's got them all. On Columbia, CDs, mini discs, and cassettes.
Oh, hi. Hello, it's Dom, and along with my co-host Amy, we are the hosts of Horror House, True Crime, and The Macabre. If, like us, you have a morbid curiosity with true crime, the paranormal, cults, and more, then our show may just satisfy your curiosities. We release episodes on Fridays and bonus episodes every other Wednesday. You can listen to us wherever you find your podcasts, and you can also find us on Instagram at horrorhouse_pod. So, all that's left to say is, until next time, my friends, stay spooky.
If you want action, we got it. Last Action Hero. Now, the year's most action-packed movie is today's hottest video game for your Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis systems. And it's available only at your video store. So when you're returning this cassette, pick up the game and live the action.
Last Action Hero. What do you think of anyone who doesn't see this movie?
Big mistake.
I love this place.
I think it's the biggest movie of the summer.
And now when you go to Burger King and order a flame-broiled Whopper with large fries and a medium drink, you get this Last Action Hero animated action cup free. Like him, you can be large and in charge. So see the movie and collect all four cups. It's your way right away. I love this place, and I'm going to see the movie.
We now return to the Transformers.
So before we get into Nate's stuff,
that
last one, it popped up when I was looking for commercials, and God, there's a ton. I cherry-picked. The Burger King, I had one of those cups.
Did you?
And I remembered it because it says moving pictures. It's not lenticular. It was a sleeve that had bars through it, and you spun it.
Holy crap. I remember this now. I had this. Yes.
I did too. And I was like,
you just unlocked a core memory here.
It's that, holy number crap. One, the sleeve did not last very long, so it was long gone. But that used to be my pencil holder on my desk in my bedroom, was my Last Action Hero cup. Unfortunately, it's gone. I have no idea where it's at. And one day I might open up a box and it's there. But I saw that commercial and I was like, I'm not going to play a Burger King. And then I saw that cup and went,
Holy shit.
I had that, man. That was a big to do. And it was, I'd never seen that again where they had a sleeve.
It was probably because after you washed them, they literally just deteriorated.
Probably. My mom would take the sleeve didn't get washed, maybe wiped off or something. But after so long, I think the image underneath started deteriorating. Yeah. So it didn't quite work the same, but I had that cup, and I'll show the boys I got. I didn't have them as a kid, but I now have Last Action Hero action figures.
Well, I think I had the Arnold one as a kid of him with the jacket and just the standard one. Because now that I'm looking at that, I'm like, I think I had that.
My favorite commercial, and I didn't play it because it's really one you need to go look it up. But go look up the Last Action Hero Pontiac car. So there's the action figures. Benedict has this red Corvette looking thing that obviously has missiles. Arnold is driving that tan convertible Pontiac Bonneville. Yeah. When you open the trunk, bundles of dynamite fly out the back of it, road hazards. But the best part, and I gotta find it, is if you turned it on its side, like he takes it on two wheels, there's a little dog leg that flips out and holds it in that position so you can roll it down whatever you're doing. I'm like, so I need the Pontiac from Last Action Hero, and I need the Oldsmobile 442 from Demolition Man. Anyone has those, reach out to me.
Yes.
I need that. In
we
my
need collection. These cups. Need to find that
for Charlie.
Yeah. Holy crap. Huh.
I know.
Burger King used to always do these
things. Still have Return of the Jedi glass cups.
I've got the Max Rebo glasses.
One. Those lasted. It's when they decided to go plastic.
They just wash away. They're not dishwasher, proof.
Where's my Batman cup? It's gone.
You probably shouldn't put anything to drink in them.
My Batman Forever cup was awesome because it was like a crystallized.
Yeah, it was like a frosted,
3D. Yes. So I still got the Riddler one of that one in the kitchen.
Taco Bell when Godzilla came out in 98, they had a cup holder.
Was it the topper?
Yeah, kind of.
They had a topper,
the topper was a...
It was a Godzilla hand that held the drink, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Godzilla hand. You'd hold on to his tail and the lizard, Godzilla, wrapped itself around the cup. And you could take the cup out and wash the cup or find another cup that would fit that. These movie tie-ins are a thing of the past.
I'm kind of surprised I didn't have the Last Action Hero baseball cap from Burger King, because if there's one thing I was known for as a kid, was definitely wearing novelty hats for anything.
And that was the weird thing, was there wasn't a local Burger King to us. Like McDonald's was in the closest town to us, that was that and Long John's and Hardee's. But and I think we had a pizza. Yeah, we had a Pizza Hut at the other end of town. But Burger King, you had to go a little ways to get to.
See, Burger King was the easier one for us because it was in London, in front of the Kmart parking lot, compared to where the London McDonald's still is, where it's just a pain in the ass to get in and out of.
We had to drive 30 plus minutes to get to either Burger King or McDonald's.
Now I probably haven't had Burger King in over a decade.
Oh, I
Burger King's cool
trash anymore. I can't.
Oh yeah, it's like I refuse to eat Burger King anymore.
I'm surprised it's still open.
But if they bring back, you know, action movie, you know, tie-ins, I'm gonna be like, uh oh.
Yeah.
I'll drop a stack down. I want all of them. Every one of them. Don't you miss one. But I also played. I also played the video game, and now that we've doing this new thing where Nate plays the game before we record.
Did you find a?
Oh boy! So I used to own this. I remember getting it for Christmas.
It's bad, isn't it? I don't remember.
It could possibly be one of the worst video games I've ever played.
No!
Is it LTM? It's bad. So it's I had the Genesis version. So
but
that's
was it LGN? Was that the production company?
It was Sony, and I can't remember who else.
Oh, Sony, huh?
Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna play the Sega version. I remember hating this as a kid. And sure enough, I still really hate this game. It's a side scroller beat 'em up. Yeah. I could not get past the first stage. I couldn't get the cheat codes to work to skip a stage. So I'm just stuck in this perpetual nightmare of a loop of getting killed. And like, it has this mechanic where there are crosshairs that will follow you, which I'm assuming is from Benedict, but I couldn't find out because then out of nowhere, an invisible man or something, bullets just fly across the screen. So you're getting stabbed in the back and getting hit by bullets. And I couldn't time it all out. And I kept dying at the same exact spot for like a half hour.
Oh my God.
You spent a half hour on this. Oh my God.
I was so determined. And I'm like, yep. Even as an adult, I got just as far as I could as a kid. Great. I have learned nothing in these years.
I hope you rented it and didn't.
Well, that's the other thing.
Oh, looking up
the when this game came out back in the day, it was $100 due to the licensing. Yeah, it was so expensive that it was a rental exclusive for like 8 months. So now I don't know who I owe the apology to, with the parents or my grandparents, for buying me that game, and I don't know how much they spent on it, but God forbid, I could only hope that it was only $20, but it's bad. It's so bad.
In 93, that was Super Nintendo, wasn't it?
Yeah, Super Nintendo and Genesis. So then I put in
Genesis.
The SNES version, which you do have more of a hit bar. You can, you know, take more hits,
okay,
but you deal less damage.
What?
I couldn't get past the first two guys, and I went, I'm done. I'm gonna go record now.
So you didn't try any of the Game Boy versions?
There's no way. Like I probably would have just like hung my head in shame for the rest of the evening.
I'll piggyback on that. I have played the Last Action Hero pinball machine a number of times, and it's pretty cool. When I played it, I had not seen the film, so I didn't. None of it stuck. Like,
if you didn't get the references.
I would have gotten references.
Did you get sucked into the pinball machine, like trying to avoid the ball hitting you?
Right. I just launched myself into a drop target and find myself down a habit trail. Anywho, it's a good. If you see it out in the wild, go play it. It's a good game.
It is. I've played that one.
I feel like I probably have played it. Yeah. It feels like something I'd be like, oh, cool.
It's not. You don't see it very often. I've only seen it at shows.
I
rarely see it in the wild.
I would have to take a look through my phone when I went to the pinball museum in Vegas.
I'm sure it's there.
There's every single pinball machine.
They've got
two
stores now that they've moved to a new facility.
The new facility is so much better.
Yeah.
There's probably one in every Planet Hollywood, you know, because Arnold has to pimp that out.
Yeah, you
every
have to,
time he talks on the camera.
You could tell that marriage was on the rocks, even in movie form in 1993.
Shriver behind him?
Yes. The mean mug that she's given him during the interview. And I gotta say, Arnold is being the nicest person ever during that interview, and I don't think he deserved those mean mugs. But also, he might have been banging the nurse, or not the nurse, the nanny at that time. So maybe he did deserve that. I don't know.
We're not 100% sure about that. But man, talk about a cavalcade of cameos that just kept Van Damme's in this movie.
Yeah, I'm like, kind of amazed that they got Van Damme to agree to that.
Well, it's, you know, Van Damme was the Predator in early.
I get it, but we also know Van Damme's ego. And in 1993, the idea of Van Damme only showing up for 2 minutes and not even that, I'm amazed they pulled that off.
They followed him around with a fake camera, thinking his part was bigger. So that's all. That's
true. I hope that's true.
I don't think it's true. But it would fit so.
Yeah, good. No, we're definitely making an action movie about you, Van Damme. They recorded for 2 weeks straight.
Oh yeah, you got second billing in this one. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
No, F.W. Murray somehow got second billing in this just about. And speaking of, I mean, this is a first time movie for fairly iconic actress for me as a kid. I know for Nate, but Bridget Wilson,
yeah,
this is her first movie, and we know her as Sonya Blade from.
I know her as Billy Madison.
Well, that too, but
that's my
she
big
played
one.
Billy Madison. That's weird.
Yeah, she was Billy Madison. That is correct.
That scene was Chris Farley, unfortunately. I know her as, you know, Sonya Blade, you know, ass kicking and, you know, badass. And she does really good in this movie. She sells it. I love that it's her first movie in Jack Slater 4 and her first movie in Last Action
Real
Hero.
Life.
I'm like, I'm loving every bit of that going back and watching
Little
it.
Richard has a cameo in this. And
what? Was
his
he
eyes,
high? Was he
his
high?
Eyes are the scariest thing I have ever seen, I think. It.
I don't think he knew where
you
he was.
You missed Little Richard in this? Oh my God, dude. He's in one of the interviews and he's talking and I don't think he knows what's going on. And it disturbed me.
I think he really thought he was at a red carpet.
I think so.
he is a planet outer space, man. That's exactly what he was.
And this is kind of the funny part. Like, this last part is where the movie doesn't lose me, but I felt like it gets a little rushed towards the end and gets a little janky.
It might, because it's a 2 hour long movie.
It's a 2 hour movie.
2 hour and 10 minute long movie. There's, and like,
they could
I had
cut.
To pause it to use the restroom when they come into the real world. And I was like, good Lord, there's still 45 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there was way more time in the movie world, which is, I like both ideas. Like, I really do. But movie world has so much good stuff. Like the kid running up to the crane operator with the gun. And he's like, everyone just always runs away. And like,
and he did
the fart guy or whatever his name was being the bomb, and the whole joke sequence of that, of I'm a doctor, I need a patient. And then our guy saying he's a doctor and getting hit in the head.
Here, check his chin. Bomb.
Yes.
Okay. So I have a confession to make. So I was watching this movie last night with Jackie, and it got to the Leo the Fart funeral. That's his name in the movie. Again, it's a kid's movie, Nate. We all just said fart and started giggling. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's,
I'm this many years old and
exactly.
It's so funny.
So it got to the point where Benedict goes up to the corpse to initiate the bomb. Last night, 30 plus years of watching this movie a lot, I finally got the joke. He pulled Leo the Fart's finger.
Finger, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
I immediately started giggling because I was like,
nope. Since I was a kid, to a split second where I go, how would the mechanics of that work, where they pull his finger and it sets the clock off on his watch?
You
why
went way too far in depth as a kid.
I was like, why wouldn't you just push the buttons on the watch? It doesn't make sense. Last night, you can ask Jackie, because I stopped and I went, God damn it. It's PG-13, I can say that.
You stupid kid.
And I went, Jackie thought, like, I forgot something important for the day, and I was like, I just got the joke. She's like, what? I was like, he pulled his finger of Leo the Fart to set off the fart. And she, God bless her, she's trying to hold it together I am at my, I'm still mad at myself. 31 years. And I just got the fart joke.
That's wonderful. I love this so much.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I was pretty mad for about 10 minutes. And then the movie, then I got back into the movie and I'm laughing again. But I vividly always remember going, is the finger connected to something in the water? No, he pulled the finger. That's the only part of the joke that I was supposed to get.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I got to say. Yes,
that's for sure.
That's. Sorry.
The fart bubble is like something I would do. Was also very funny.
Oh, I love the effect
silent
of doing the
deadly.
Like they put a giant balloon. Is the La Brea tar pits a real thing?
Yeah.
Like, is that an actual like?
It's a tourist.
Like, but is it really a tar thing, or do they just fake it?
That's a good question. I fear they faked it. I think it was famous for being there, and then I'm sure they've.
Maybe a kid actually fell into the tar, and that's when they were like, "All right."
I don't know, Charlie. That's a we could probably agree.
I'm not going to do it right now. Nah. You know, tar actually sticks to some people. I love that gag.
Hey, people smarter than us, write in. Tell us what about the right. La Brea.
Has anyone ever been there? You have pictures idiots. As a kid next to the dinosaurs. I've always wanted to know because of this movie right here, because of a fart. That's exactly what I wanted.
A giant fart.
It all leads to a fart, usually. That's how we gain knowledge.
Another self-referential for this thing, when he gets out of the tar pit, he just towels himself off, and the tar doesn't stick to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny goes, tar usually sticks to people.
When Meredith shows up with extra clothes, he's like, that seems real convenient this just happened. Like, that's in movies. Everything's convenient.
There is another one that I think is fantastic. It's when they find the eyeball at his house.
Oh, man.
And then they, you know, they crank it and the camera pans out to the city view and you just see the giant explosion. And then the next scene is them in their blown up clothes.
Burnt. Arnold gets fired. They're still in their burnt clothes. Danny's all disheveled. It's Looney Tunes. And I mean,
let's continue with the Looney Tunes. The first chase scene with Al Leon chasing Danny and Schwarzenegger. Every car they hit along to just sideswipe. Every car they sideswipe along the road.
Once again, it's that Naked Gun humor where, like, you just have to pay attention to the background because there's a joke going on somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you have the climax. The climax of the joke of the one vehicle flipping and the upside down. Yes.
Well, they're grabbing dynamite out of an Acme dynamite. And the flare is next to the dynamite in the crate. Dude, I love that little stubby minigun in that van, though. It's so cool. That guy just comes out while
mechanically.
Weird Gatling gun thing or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little helicopter Gatling gun, but it's real like stubby. Mini. Like, this is, oh God, it's so much action movie goodness. It's just oozing out of this movie.
The car, like, flies occasionally or something.
Well, they go in the same culvert from Terminator 2.
Terminator 2, yeah.
Yep. It goes off the rampart.
But that's the thing. It does the Terminator 2, but it does another, which I think is another just fantastic car chase altogether. It doesn't carry the same beats as the T2 chase.
No.
It still is a very good car chase.
Oh, man.
On its own.
Well, I love how, because they're parodying it a bit, is when they stay on the car long enough where you're like, oh yeah, that car's not going to land right, but they would cut the camera perfectly to like a tire landing and it gliding the rest of the way down. I'm like, I see what you did there, McTiernan. Did really good.
Doesn't the car climb out of the culvert too?
Oh, it climbs up. Oh, yeah. It's like a four-wheel drive vehicle.
It's doing everything that car would never do.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, it's not working. That's how it works. I don't care. I'm in for it.
That's why I want that toy, man. That little dog leg pop out, and I can ride on two wheels as long as I want to. Also, fun little thing I picked up. I didn't catch it in the commercial I grabbed, but for the music, they said mini disc. And I'm like, this was a big commercial for mini disc in this movie. When Arnold's changing the music, those are mini discs that did not last very long.
I don't know those.
I don't think they had a lot of information. I don't think you could put a lot of information on
them. I think there were like four songs max.
Yeah, it was small, and they were self-contained. So
they were cassettes with CDs in them.
What?
Florida, PSP. Remember the PSPs?
Yeah.
Which is also Sony, which had that technology.
They were probably getting rid of that.
But that's where they probably took it over. But yeah, Pete's right. There was only like, I want to say four songs on them. That's why there's like a handful.
I don't even recognize these players at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Mini disc.
It was a blink.
Too young.
Literally.
Too poor.
Well, most of us probably only know it from this movie. I never saw one in the wild.
No.
Let alone the cassettes. It was just one of those things. I think they were just hoping this movie was going to hype it.
Yeah.
Probably.
They didn't leave it in the movie long enough for anyone to even know what it was.
The complaint with the CDs was they would get scratched. Like, no one would store them properly.
Well, they would scratch, and the early Walkmans would skip when you had them in your car because they didn't.
Cartridge
if you sneezed,
tight.
If you looked at them.
If you went over a bump in your car, it would skip.
If you thought about listening to music, they skipped.
But it was, I thought it was a great idea. It was just poorly executed because you couldn't get enough information. If you could have put a full CD in there, I think it might have.
If they could have got the PSP technology then, because I mean, they were putting movies on PSP discs.
Yep.
You know, I had half of those.
Right.
I
think the lasers got smaller or something.
Yeah. Well, you could more compact information on them. It was just a fun little throwaway thing because like the only time I've ever even heard it. Like advertised was in that little commercial, you know, and we can't go without saying AC/DC wrote a specific song for this movie. That's not on an album.
This is like back in the day when bands would write specific stuff for a movie,
but you're talking AC/DC without an album to back it. They wrote Big Gun because Arnold asked them to. It was, you know, because we're, you know, normally when you say Arnold movies, you immediately go like Guns N' Roses. You know, that's what Terminator 2 was. They're played in this movie as well. But to be like, oh yeah, there's no out, because it was Ballbreaker was the album that had came out the same year as Big Gun, but Big Gun's not on Ballbreaker.
Yeah, it was only on Last Action Hero.
Only on the Last Action Hero soundtrack.
That's another thing that doesn't happen. You don't get those soundtracks anymore.
No.
I miss cool soundtracks.
Like American Graffiti, Forrest Gump, Last Action Hero. They're bangers of albums, man. Just
Not to start any controversy, and I don't want to, you know, start anything down a different tirade, but if this new Crow movie doesn't have a soundtrack like they did back in the day, that is going to be a huge missed opportunity.
Oh yeah,
for them.
Like,
you gotta have music.
Music is such a critical part of the story. Like,
yes.
You can't.
And even if the movie sucks, you got to have a killer soundtrack because people will still buy that soundtrack. I'll buy that CD. People still buy CDs. I don't care what y'all say about physical media, not Pete and Nate, but in general.
I was going to say, I'm
no, we're all proponents of physical media.
I haven't bought a CD in forever though.
Yeah. That's something I haven't
bought. I got two or three sitting here next to me. So suck it, nerds.
I did buy a live orchestral version of Akira Fukube's music.
I got two new cassette tapes of bands behind me now. So
now I still buy cassettes, and
I love the novelty of them.
I just haven't bought a CD because
you like poor audio quality. That's
exactly. Well, I listen to metal, so
Oh yeah, you don't need high quality.
Yeah, I don't need.
You preferably have a lower quality, so you don't.
Look, man, I still live somewhat in the boonies, so sometimes you lose your network service. I love a CD in my CD player.
Weren't you bragging about being on fiber now?
I'm at home, but when I'm driving, I don't have I don't have a fiber following me down the road like a tether.
Google hasn't figured that part out yet.
They will.
It'll be like one of those trolley cars in San Francisco where I'm hooked up to the wire. That's my car going down following the fiber optic. Jesus. No, I love still popping a CD in my car, man. It's just
I do
fun
it all
to
the
listen
time.
To them. Yeah,
I'm fairly certain there's a CD in my car right now. I just don't know the last time it's. I've hit the eject button to see what it is.
Oh. I'll just have always... it in your car. It's always hooked to your phone.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, music is killer in this. Obviously, it's a perfect amalgam of
cracked me up
bands.
Hearing Megadeth right out the gate, especially
angry again.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Which I'm like, I know I got that CD somewhere in the closet right now.
100%, man. Yeah.
Big thing, and we haven't touched on this yet. I wish I could see a movie in the movie theater that this kid's in. This grand theatrical looking theater.
Oh, yes.
I have never experienced a movie like that before. So, where are these? How can I get to it?
We got one in town, man. Let's go to the Ohio Theater. The Ohio Theater downtown, man.
Okay. So I've seen stuff at Ohio
Kappa
Theater.
They even have the giant 12,000 piano.
Humans?
Right. No, the damn it. The word is organ. Giant organ with all the bells and literally the term bells and whistles
Is it the Ohio Theater that had the IMAX of King Kong, Peter Jackson's when it came out?
I don't think they have an IMAX theater there, but
I've seen live performances at the Ohio Theater, but I've never seen a movie screening showing.
I saw
there.
Enter the Dragon last summer, but Kappa has a summer series. Like I think every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they have a different movie playing at the Ohio Theater. So I'll get that schedule and we'll go.
Yeah,
there and see something.
Let's do
I've
that.
Never
let's
been
something.
To a movie, but you know, staying topical, I saw Megadeth at a theater in Knoxville that was a legitimate like ushers and ticket takers.
That's
like,
how it was when I saw King Diamond. It was in this grand theater in Indiana, and it had this beautiful like sculptures and like,
oh, there was
hand painted ceiling and everything.
The trim and work was gorgeous. The curtains that had weight to them for sound deadening.
It was the most bizarre thing ever for King Diamond because it was just like, this doesn't really like. Compatible. It's what's happening right now.
I think I felt at a Megadeth concert.
Yeah, like it's
and
just
there's
weird.
No, there's no like pit. It was everyone had a seat, and I'm like, this is a metal concert. I shouldn't be able to sit down.
Seat midway through, and I was like, this is odd, but whatever.
Yeah, okay, I'll sit down here. It's totally fine. There's that's also the show I made Dave Mussain laugh. But you know,
nice.
I can't tell that story because it's PG-13. So I kind of missed the impact on what Charlie said that made Dave Mustaine laugh. But one day I'll tell that story.
We'll cover another action movie that somehow Megadeth made a song for.
We'll do Universal Soldier: The Return, and you'll get to hear Charlie's make Dave Mustaine laugh on stage.
Is that like
moment.
The fourth Universal Soldier or something?
It's the technical sequel, but it was the third. I think it's the third.
Yeah. Okay. But then they had two or three more to go. Honestly, if it's not the first one, I don't want anything to do with it.
I'm with Nate.
I don't mind the returns. It had Goldberg in it and Michael Jai White.
It's not selling me anymore. Well, yeah, Michael Jai White would, not Goldberg.
Oh, come on. Goldberg was awesome.
Goldberg was a terrible wrestler who could have hurt a lot of other wrestlers because he was sloppy.
Oh,
he was a sloppy Joe in the ring.
Okay, so yeah, that happens. There's plenty of them out there. You ain't got to hate on an entire movie just because of that, man.
I'm gonna. I do know who you are.
Yeah.
All right, anything else we want to talk about in this movie? I know we've kind of just danced all over. We don't need to sit here and go over the plot of this.
No, the one other thing I guess I want to touch upon was when Ian McKellen's death comes out. There's a really cool meta thing happening there as well, where everyone in the movie is, you know, the characters, I guess you could say. But because that death actually knows when Danny's going to die as a grandfather, I took it as like that is actually death in the seventh seal.
Could be.
You know, like
because he wouldn't have knowledge of the Jack Slater universe.
Exactly. Like, so, I don't know, just the way I took it, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I feel like there's a little bit more cleverness happening here than maybe they anticipate or maybe they did. But I was like, that's really cool, because then that also means that the Seventh Seal was filmed with the actual death.
With actually death, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, just something about that, especially for what Seventh Seal's about. Like, that's a cool little thing that with film in general, I guess.
No, and I love, and I also, I just loved seeing Ian McKellen.
Also, Ian McKellen from 93 looks so much younger than Ian McKellen from 2000. It's kind of strange.
Well, that was like 40 years ago.
Well, I think he's talking about the first X-Men.
Yeah, even the first X-Men movie, it's probably 2000.
99 or 2000.
99, because Gandalf was 2000, 2001.
Yeah. He's just, you know, it worked for him. But man, I did love it. And I love that effect of like the scythe coming through the screen and it's huge.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, I would like to know what the audience would say about that the next day in the papers, because also it's New York. So I feel like it would go to the National Enquirer.
Well, here's the thing, though. They probably didn't care, because apparently there's a 40-foot Jack Slater in the middle of downtown New York, inflatable, holding dynamite and a shotgun. So, you know, it's New York, baby. What are you going to do?
That's it. I'm walking here.
Shut up down there.
Shut up down there.
Crack me up.
Oh, God.
I just watching it, and I want to confess. Shut up.
Watching it in high def, too, I noticed that they had even thrown in some people behind him when he shot that mechanic, and they are just like, nope, nothing to see here, and they just kept going about their day.
No F's.
I rented the 4K version, and like,
that's what we did.
Get that on Amazon?
Yeah. Yep.
I wanted, so I don't know if I have the DVD, but I'm pretty sure it was the bad rip DVD, if I do
probably want the originals. Yeah.
There's a steelbook out there.
There is. I have come so close to pulling the trigger to buy it. I just kept holding off, probably because so many other steelbooks have come out that I really want. True Lies is coming soon, baby. Whoop, whoop.
It comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, this month.
Well, my copy of Aliens should be arriving by the end of the week.
I've seen some people that have already gotten their Abyss already, so we should be getting some James Cameron love here.
My dealer posted a picture on Instagram going, bear with us, and they had a bunch of boxes going, we got to go through all these to get everyone's orders out. And they had multiple boxes just stacked of pre-orders.
That's kind of what's going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to,
you might get lucky and find it in store tomorrow.
I was going to say, I'm risking it. I'm going to Walmart tomorrow. There's no way I'm not buying True Lies on 4K. I've wanted this movie forever. I'm buying it. If Aliens is there, I'll buy it too, but True Lies above all. Arnold, you know, which he does after this one, but I don't even know what we were technically talking about there. The quality of it. That, you know, seeing it in 4K, it was really cool. And honestly, it looks gorgeous cleaned up, you know, on the high def through Amazon. But yeah, man, this movie's just awesome. The Ripper looks amazing at the end. I love the dialogue between the two of them.
I love how he gets taken out, too. I think it's clever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the axe and the electricity. It works. And they were smart. Because they're showing he's wearing leather boots and leather gloves. So it's not like he's wearing rubber or something that would stop the electricity. I love that, you know, Arnold saves Danny and he gets back up and he goes, oh, I think I pulled my shoulder out of the socket.
Yeah.
Just nothing he would say in the movies, but what he says in real life.
You have real life version.
Right.
Just so good, man. And
so
then
I rented it on Saturday and I think I watched it on Sunday, but I was for fun. I got on YouTube, in between meetings today and I started watching it's on YouTube. Oh boy. Don't watch it on YouTube. Go pay the money for it. Well, there. Okay. So there's, you can,
mistakes were made.
You can rent it on YouTube, but there is a free version that don't do it. It's bad.
It's a ripped copy from HBO that someone camcordered and then put it on YouTube, probably.
Yeah, but it goes with weird angles, and there's always this music bed looping behind it. I
hate when they do that because they're trying to hide it from
it. Yeah, it's so stupid.
Yeah, the algorithm. And it's like, is it worth it?
Is this worth it?
Yes.
No, especially ones where I go and I click on it and it's only got like 20 views. I'm like, that wasn't worth the 20 views you got out of that. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to work. All right, boys, let's say we get into the things. And if we think of something, we can talk back about it. So let's get into the body.
Yeah.
Leave anything for us?
Just bodies.
Body count. Body count. Body count. Body count.
And yep, it's PG-13, but man, they do not slouch as far as body count goes. There are some bad guys that gets bad boo-boos, but there are definitely some people that die. Like, literally, he blows up a dude in a dumpster. And let me say, Pete, that dummy fall should be on your list because it flies through the air.
Yeah, it's like somebody launched it from a spring or something. Just
an air cannon almost. That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful.
I figured that one has to be in your top 20 at least right now.
I got to start writing these down is what I need to do.
We need the comprehensive list of dummy falls.
All right, here we go.
Pete Quint. That's what we do. All right. So body count for this movie is 51. So that for a kid-friendly PG-13 action movie. I'm happy with that.
It's impressive.
And that's counting everyone that dies in the explosion from the eyeball, except for Meredith Slater and the kid. If you're a backup cop, you're dead in this movie. Like, flat out. You don't survive if you get shot or blown up. That's a lot of fun, man. So, speaking of fun, let's pick our favorite one.
Have you ever killed anyone?
Yeah, but they were all bad.
I'm gonna be mad if I don't mention it. I know I already went through all my favorite henchmen, but there is one more literal henchman in this movie that we've been missing him for a while, Nate. And he used to show up on the show quite a bit.
Which henchman are we talking about? Is Billy Drago in this? That is
no, I would have
I
would have
like, no. Oh.
That would have been awesome, though. No, this is the one, the only, Professor Torutu Tanaka.
Ah, Tutanka!
Sub-Zero.
Oh, nice.
He is Benedict's secondhand man, the driver. He goes out in the worst way. He goes out in the car wreck in the real world, but it's Sub-Zero, man. I love that he was... he was in the horror movie and Dead Heat.
Dead Heat. Shane Black's brother.
A bunch of other ones that we've done, but dude, Professor Toru Tanaka. I wish I could make him that my favorite kill, but I am going to give you my favorite kill, and it's because he's back in the movie again. Therefore, I have to pick him. It's the ice cream cone to the back of the head, Ao Leong. This is a ice to see you. To cone a phrase.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. So, Nate, what's your favorite kill of Last Action Hero?
I'm going with Hamlet with the Uzi. Because it's so damn funny. Like, the way that's filmed in the black and white. And then he's got the sword. But then just after delivering the one-liner... popping out the Uzi and starting to blast. It's fantastic.
I love, though, it's like, it's not black and white. It's like blues and grays, but then the fire is what's in color because his lighter is lit up and then the explosion. It's like Technicolor.
He's got the cigar as Hamlet.
He grabs a cigar out of the dead henchman later, and it's like exploded like Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd style, and he's holding it in his mouth, and just, he's so disappointed, but he still puts it in his mouth.
You put a little firecracker in it? Yeah.
It was that whole, like, it looks exploded. Uh-huh. Pete, what about you, bud? What's your favorite kill of Last
Action? I like both of yours a lot. The one I picked, however, just, it kind of laid the foundation for what this movie was gonna be, and even though it hinted at it earlier, this solidified it. It's when 2 days from retirement, that moment is when I went, okay, I get it, I get what's going on.
We got
on
an
here.
Anonymous call that this is a drug house. What do you expect? Guys out in front throwing crack at each other?
All right. The fact also, it's the fourth movie. And he's like, there's no crack house here. This is my second favorite cousin or whatever it was.
My favorite second cousin or something.
Frank.
Like yeah, Frank. Get here. Shut up. I got to tell you something. It's the Spaskellies and everything are joining out. I'm out of here. And dies.
It just dies.
With his mouth open.
I have to get revenge for my favorite second cousin, Frank.
Also, kid brain Charlie going, wow, he really counted that down. Adult brain Charlie going, when did the timer technically start for the bomb? Because
care,
it takes so, and it's all on purpose. It's literally taking forever till he sees, and he pauses ever so slightly at three. And you're like, that's not seconds. Hold on. It's a bomb. And they run.
Okay. The cops are dead.
Glorious
he's okay
explosion.
That's how the movie starts. It was beautiful. Oh, God. So much good. So much good. All right, let's rate this bad boy. And for everyone that's always wondered, why doesn't Charlie play something that Al Leong says? He doesn't talk in the movies. And if he does, it's like two lines. He talks in I Come in Peace, but it's nothing that works for what we need to do. Okay. There's a handful of other movies he's actually talked in. It just doesn't work. I've even gone through his entire movie, Henchman, the Al Leong story. Nothing I can use. That's why. But
anyone wants to make us an Al Leong drop.
Al Leong, if you want to come on and record something with us.
I prefer that instead of trying to pull out a racist. I'm not even going to try.
Why is it always got to go racist with you? I don't.
Well, no. If you want me to.
I don't want anyone to do an impression of Al Leong.
Yeah,
I just want someone to make an Al Leong song.
Make a song.
Make an Al Leong song. That's
an Al Leong song.
Yeah.
I love you, Al Leong. I'll stop. Drinking.
Leon. You know.
Right. Greatest henchman of all.
I like that.
Why are we so, the universe?
Why, I was going to say, why are we doing Flash Gordon?
Freddie Mercury, yeah.
Leon!
I'll get Troy in to do the...
He'll save all of us!
Troy. Damn it, Nate. That's actually...
It's pretty good.
We need to get
some... All right, well, maybe we got something here. Anyone want to give us a beat?
Yeah. Get us a beat. All right, well, while we wait for that beat, let's rate this bad boy. Pete, let's start with you, brother. What are you rating Last Action Hero?
Boy. I got to go. I'm going with a 9 because it was so much fun, and I'm going to give the kid a pass. I don't like that kid at all, and I don't think he's good, and he's really annoying. But the rest of the film, if Hollywood gave them enough time to finish the movie proper and it wasn't up against Jurassic Park, and you recast this kid, I know that's a lot of ands and ands. I think you would have had a banger of a film. And I agree with Nate. This was just ahead of its time. It was too self-referential. People were looking for an Arnold movie, and they got Arnold making fun of himself. I don't think anybody was ready for that. So it's a 9. I thoroughly enjoy this film.
I'm sorry. I'm over here scratching through the names of potential people we can have on the show. Austin O'Brien, you're out. I'm sorry. That's who played Danny, guys.
So sorry.
You can come on the show and defend yourself.
Yeah, you
can
still come on this show.
No. After what y'all...
Why did 12-year-old you suck at acting? And that'd be my first question. And then it'd be like, well, now we're fighting over the internet and... We don't need that happening.
No, we don't.
Apparently, he's in the cult classic Lawnmower Man 2. Beyond Cyberspace.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. That one is a sci-fi classic.
that.
Oh, that's the other movie I knew this kid from. Pre-Hysteria with the little tiny dinosaurs.
Dinosaur puppets.
Yeah, he's
I remember
the were they puppets
that.
Or were they early CG? I think they were puppets.
I don't remember.
I think they're like puppets or stop motion.
I can picture the VHS.
I can picture, cover. Yeah, the cover.
Oh, I can see. Yeah, I can see the cover. It's not even what they're using on IMDb, but I know the old one. Nate, let's hit me with your Aliongs for last section.
God, I do really enjoy this movie. I do feel like it gets a little lost in the sauce at the very end, or like the last maybe 20 minutes.
It's long.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't need to be as long as it is, even though there's a lot of like I said,
what would really, you cut though? I mean,
I know,
really,
like that's this... hard. I don't know.
I don't
and
know,
then
Charlie.
Like. It's to know that they were making the movie up to like the week before it came out.
That's
kind
what I was saying,
crazy. Like, how?
3 weeks?
How's that possible? How many film reels did you have to overnight?
Mm-hmm.
To
get that release.
That UPS budget and FedEx budget is insane.
That would have been like couriers. That would have been. Here's a dedicated company, and all your job is now
DHL.
To the theaters. Here's your theater. Here's the five that are on your route. Mm-hmm. Drop them off as you go. That's the only way that was logistically possible.
But it's still a good movie. It's still a well-made action movie. I think it has some very artful moments between the reality and the movie world. I'm giving it a 7.5.
Ooh.
But I feel like it could be bumped to an 8.5. Ugh.
That's dirty.
I know it does. It feels wrong, but
then
like,
it's not the score if it feels wrong, sir.
I know, but that's that's what I'm sticking with for right now. Even though I still like this movie,
I would have accepted an 8, but 7.5.
I'm surprised Pete gave it a 9. I did not expect that from Pete.
It's fun. It's a hoop.
Pete has been singing its praises since I had him watch it last year.
We've been singing its praises this whole time.
Oh,
even
yeah,
me, who was against doing it for Kids Month, even though I was like, I still like this movie.
That's
you're
what it
just,
is. That's
you're
what
just
is,
mad that I could have put this.
Maybe
any
that's what
time.
It is. Yeah, you could have literally done this anytime.
But I had my reasons, and my reasons was this was.
And they're good reasons. They are.
It's
I'm
the
not disputing
perfect
that.
Perfect action friendly kid introduction. And it worked because as a kid, I hadn't seen all of the Arnold movies yet, it still got me. And as an adult, I've now seen all the Arnold movies, and it still got me. And I still get the jokes 31 years later.
You're up, Charlie.
I'm standing tall with Pete, man. This movie's a 9. This is
excellent.
This one's been a staple in my, growing up watching movies. I owned it. A very important thing for me growing up was being able to share, not just watch a movie with my dad, but share the love of a movie with my dad. And, my dad's not, I don't know what the right word is. My dad, I can count on my hand how many times I've hugged my dad since I've been an adult. My dad was not very affectionate, I guess is the word.
My dad
loves me, but the affection there. So having something that was this big connection that we both just loved and look forward to watching, that's what these kind of movies do. So, I mean, it's the whole point of this podcast half the time is stuff my dad introduced me to. But this is one of those that when I was 13, I was like, this is what dad watches? Like this is the guy, this is Arnold that dad has all these VHSs of, or he rents the movies, or dad has a poster of Terminator in his bedroom, and dad's not a poster guy. Dad's not like me where I collect everything, but dad saw that at it was weird. We were in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We stopped at a army surplus store, dad's ex-military, just looking for boots or coat or something. They had a Terminator poster up the stairwell to the second part. And he finds the guy and he goes, would you sell that poster? Guy's like, I guess no one's ever asked. And dad's like, well, I'll give you 10 bucks for it. I want that poster. And it's hung up. It's still hanging in his bedroom right now. As he has that poster. So this was something I could connect with my dad on a different level than just being his son or doing something like that. It was, we shared this connection with the movie. So that is why this was such an important pick for me on Kid Friendly Month. And, you know, I can look at that. You know, I've watched it with Anthony and he had a ball with it. But, you know, this was weird. I introduced Anthony to other movies and then we watched, you know, Last Action Hero. So he had already seen some R-rated movies. So then he now gets to watch Last Action Hero. You know, so I do things a little bit backwards, but it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So that's me, man. It's a 9. I love it. It's an absolute blast. All right, Nate, hit us with the next thing we are going to do.
You know it.
Trash.
I'm the trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring, and then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can, and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's going to be a disaster.
I know there's no shortage of bad reviews for this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not delusional about that at all.
This one comes from a guy who has just a bunch of numbers. They make no sense or letters. And so they gave it a 3 out of 10 back in 2022 and said, stupid, way too long attempt at parody. It had its moments and it was funny from time to time, but it just went on and on and went way too long, which is really sad. A good, fresh concept to begin with. If they edit this down to an hour and a half movie, it would have been much more successful. Did enjoy the ironic parodies from time to time, and its intent was good, but unfortunately, they rushed the final product. This would be one of those movies that would be fun to see a director's cut where they took out all the crap so that it could have had a better flow and been a more enjoyable movie without watching experience. In spite of a couple chuckles, I found myself groaning way more than I was laughing, and I was glad when it finally ended. And it's like, there's parts of that I agree, but like
you
Charlie
get it,
said,
but you don't.
I don't know what you cut. Really don't.
There's not 40 minutes to cut out of this movie. An hour and a half.
That's the problem. Yeah.
That's silly.
It's just a bloated script, but it's a necessary bloated script.
But it needs to be there to do what it's doing.
Yeah, to be able to justify its existence.
And
if they cut that an hour and a half, this would be one of those like 90s movies where the studio got so heavily involved that we would have been like, I really wish we could have seen what could have been.
Yeah. Where's the director's cut? Release.
We got the it could have been.
This is the director's
cut.
I 100% agree. And, you know, watching it even last night, I didn't feel like 2 hours to me. I was Danny. I was in the movie. I was having fun with it. I was enjoying it. You know, it's probably been, I don't know, a little over a year since I had watched it last. So to me, that's a good enough time for a movie I'd like to watch it again and go, oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, there we go.
I'm glad you mentioned this because I had homework for you boys.
Oh, I'm not prepared.
I did. If you guys had a magic movie ticket, what universe would you want to be thrown into?
Oh crap.
Oh gosh.
You boys are both in trouble. Detentions.
You didn't send it out, you ding dong.
Yes, I did.
Did you? When?
Yep. I sent it out like last week. I gave you plenty of time to, you know, do homework. I think both of you went, that's a really good idea.
I feel like you both went, I really like that.
Did you send it out last Thursday by chance?
No, it wasn't last Thursday. It was before that.
I would have known better than be like, all right, just going to turn that again on Friday.
Nate pulled the ultimate teacher. He didn't give us a reminder.
Would I give you the reminder? You've been given the homework. This is a lesson of responsibility for you two.
Well, then you go first, Nate.
Yeah, you go first. Lead by example, sir.
Oh, boy. So
you didn't have one either. Shut up.
No, because I'm like, I wouldn't pick anything from Marvel because then you got to deal with like superhero insurance, and that doesn't sound fun.
Or you might get snapped.
And I was like, well, I don't want to pick like Jurassic Park because like I could not afford that. So life would be normal. I would just happen to know that velociraptors exist in this world and are eating people, but they're not eating me because I'm too poor. So then I started going more into the realism of the world. And I think mine would just be like Wayne's World or Grandma's Boy. That's the movie verse that I go into.
That's a cop out. Nate wants to be one of the Lone Rangers in Airheads. Exactly.
So basically, you know, a comedy verse is what I would go into.
I got mine. I know what mine is. I'm going in the Fast and Furious verse.
I was going to say, right? I couldn't do Fast and Furious because I'm not part of the family.
Well, once you're in the movie,
that's
true. You're in the family.
I just, because you know what?
You show up in the back of that vehicle that Vin Diesel's driving that does the wheelies.
Yeah. Well, if I'm part of the family, essentially I'm bulletproof, and then
yep.
I'm never going to die in a car accident, so I can do the most insane stunts ever, and I'll be totally fine at the end of the movie. So I'm going to get into the Fast and Furious, because I love fast cars anyway. I would be the van guy. There'd be like you everyone be, driving yeah. around, and it, you know, Rock was in like the big, you know, bad bulky vehicles, but then you're gonna have like 18 Van Charlie screaming across the ice yeah. too,
guys,
running from a submarine.
My car can't go as fast as yours. Slow down.
Oh, he's got a nitrous input somewhere
in the van. Yeah, the van definitely got NOS.
The back doors open and there's a rocket engine in the back.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, see, I'm ready for the Fast and the Furious, you know, universe. I'm there. So I win. Okay.
Well, what about you, Pete? Is this giving you enough inspiration?
I think so. Yeah. I'm gonna go with super nerdy Star Trek, where
ooh.
There's relative peace, there's prosperity, the whole idea about exploring because you want to and you can.
Green women.
Green women is always a plus.
Little fur balls that run around.
I'll take purple women, green women. I'm not picky.
Pete's not space racist.
Nope. Not space racist. I will take the entire rainbow of people colors. but that utopia, at least the theory of that utopia is.
Yeah.
Something
there was
that,
nothing but political turmoil in Star Trek.
It's political, but there's no money. There's no cash based.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you don't have to worry about being poor. Well, anyway.
Well, I think as long as you're part of Starfleet or something like that, you're took care of. If you're talking about being on a different planet, yes, there is all of that stuff.
You can pursue your whatever makes you joyful. You can pursue that as a career. And there's no repercussions. Like I could play trumpet for the rest of my life. I could brew beer for the rest of my life and just do it because I love doing it. It's what gets me up in the day. I wouldn't be the captain. I wouldn't be the first officer.
No. I'd be
Guinan. I'd be the bartender.
There you go. Pete can be the new drinks. How about that? Pete's in 10 forward. He's a bartender.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be Quark, but I might be one of his bartenders.
Captain Kirk approaches you like, I need you to wear this red shirt. And you're like, no.
No.
That's fine.
I'm not putting that on.
Staying on the bar.
Not my color.
What do you got planned today? Because I'm the bar guy.
I'll see you when you get back.
Yeah. I forget which one it was, but this is going to make me sound because I do watch Star Trek, but I don't keep up with it. I don't know if it was Kirk or Picard in one of the movies said, do you remember when we used to be explorers? And it was something they had a lot of political stuff that they were dealing with. Mm-hmm. And they make that, you know, because obviously they went that direction because that's what the people watching the movies wanted. There needed to be excitement, but it was a line where they go, you remember when we used to be explorers? And I was like, that says a lot right there.
Yeah. And
that's pretty sweet.
That brings me like that whole exploring part, finding new things.
Yeah.
Experiencing new. I think that's where I would like to go. Yeah. I could say the kaiju world, but then I'd get stomped on and
he would immediately get squished.
Oh yeah. I'm the first to go. I'm pretty sure.
Not even by a foot. It would just be a piece of a building that fell down.
Flies halfway across the city and kerplunk.
Pete's sitting in his bar, just enjoying a nice beer. Bam! No more building. All right. Good homework. See, we did good.
Yay,
A's
yay.
All around. I don't know what Nate worries about. So
it's a B.
It's a B. I'll take it.
Come on, man. It's family. It's always A's.
Yeah, family always gets A+.
It's A+. It's always family. All right. Well, this is our final episode of our Kid Friendly Month.
And the final episode of Nate being on this podcast. It has been very great being with you guys.
Now, come on.
Even though as much fun as I have with this, I gave you a contract. I let you know what my stipulations were. You didn't listen. I told you. Good day.
He's really leaving.
I think he's going. Nate, really?
I said good day.
Come on. Why has it got to be like this?
I, you know.
You are such a crybaby.
It's not me being like this. There was one clear, obvious movie for Kid Month, and you pulled down your pants and you pooped all over it.
You didn't put it on the poll.
It wasn't on the poll.
Honestly, if you'd have put that on the poll, it might have beat this.
You know how badly that would have broken my heart, though, if it didn't? And you guys
would
be like, you got to wait a year? So why wait a year when I could just quit?
Because now you're waiting forever if you quit.
I don't know. Maybe I'll start my own podcast.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Are you going to email me the file?
Oh, why would I email you? Now maybe I'll do it all raw.
Oh my god,
raw, huh?
That's, yeah, just like that Eddie Murphy stand up.
No one wants Nate raw. It's it's not going to turn out well.
That laugh that I just had—that was a malfunction in my unit because I didn't think that was funny at all. You guys aren't funny. I don't like this. Like,
I don't know.
I am mad. I'm just having a really hard time expressing it right now because I really enjoyed myself for the past 2 hours.
I told you it was a good kids-friendly movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be different if you're over there going, I give this movie a 2.
Like
this
one. Well, I kind of wish you would have picked like a really bad movie. That way I could be a little bit more upset.
Why would I have
across
done that?
A little bit more, you know, authentic.
Why would I pick a bad movie? There's only two people on this podcast that pick bad movies, and I'm looking at them.
Oh, see, that's another reason why I'm really just like, you know what? I'm done.
Okay, Wade, you keep saying it.
I'll go over to Give Me Back My Rock and Roll and actually make that show happen. How's that sound?
There's two episodes out. Stop. You know, that's it below the belt.
That's what happens there, sir.
Hey, come on. No. Wayne. No. Go then.
I'm gone. I've left.
Then go.
Good.
Go ahead.
I'm gone.
Gone.
I hate that. I'm really enjoying myself right now because of how upset I am with you two knuckleheads.
With me as always is Pete. Say hello, Pete.
Hello, Pete.
Yeah, how'd that feel?
How's that feel? Uh-huh.
No, it felt more awkward for you two. I know that. That's for sure.
Get it?
Yeah.
I feel fine.
Get us out of here. Get me out of here for the last time.
For the last time. You're still
Nate
sitting here.
Hero.
I see you. You haven't shut your computer down.
I'm still workshopping. Oh, and then there's going to be a political campaign. Like, give me back my Nate. Give me back my Nate podcast. Give us back our Nate.
Trademark on Give Me Back. That's mine. You cannot use that outside of this universe. You're not allowed to. There's already a Last Action podcast.
I'm going to do parody law, and I'm going to call it Good Give Me Back My Action Movies.
Hey, careful now.
That's what I'm going to do.
No.
Then it's going to imply there's a bad one out there in the universe.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Rubber baby bunky bubbers. Bitch didn't know I was going to say that.
Almost didn't pull that off.
That was real hard to say.
All right. Well, that's not fair. Here's a good line. Well, I haven't left yet because you got to download my tracks. If not, this podcast would have a lot of really weird space.
Why would you care?
Words.
Why would you care?
I still care about the stuff you're that leaving. I'm on. No. But then after that, I don't care.
For someone that's leaving, you're doing a lot of staying.
You're doing a lot of talking, too.
It's because I'm already gone.
You're already gone. I still see you.
I'm
you
already
are,
a dream.
Right there.
That you guys wish.
The leprechaun.
No! I'm the leprechaun. Stop.